I trust that's true in your life this morning, that you have brought an offering to the Lord. And we're not talking about monetary offerings. We're talking about the offering of yourself to God, freely laid down on the altar and saying, Lord, here am I. This is my offering. I give myself to you. We are looking at the precious names of Jesus. We've been doing that for some weeks. We'll continue to do that throughout the Christmas season. The precious name of Jesus is significant for us to know this name and to take refuge in His name. It is not one name, not just the name of Jesus, but the multifaceted name of Jesus Christ and all that He is. Over 1,000 names throughout Scripture that identify Him. I have identified 640 in there on our website. But it's taken from Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. I think that's significant to anchor ourselves to this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord, that means all of those names, is a strong tower. Any one of those names that you take can be to you a strong tower. And the righteous, and that means you who are born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are righteous, not by your own works, but by Jesus Christ being your Savior. You are declared righteous. The righteous run into it. That is, we run to the name of Jesus. We embrace the name of Jesus. We take the name of Jesus as our Savior, as our friend. I want to encourage you to do that this Christmas season. Go through the Scriptures and look at these names and be prayerfully asking, Lord, what is the name that you want to highlight this year for me? What is the name that you would spotlight of your character and of yourself so that I can embrace that name and hold on to it and find it as my strong tower? And I'm so glad, as I've done that for years now, probably for about 25 years, each year the Lord gives me a different name of one of His names, and that becomes significant for me. And I've delighted in the one He gave me for 2010 and already begun that process of every day meditating on it, thinking it, and rehearsing God's promises concerning that name in my life. We've been looking at some of those names in Hebrews. There are seven that we're concluding this series with. Seven names of Jesus. I call them the excellent names of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the captain of our salvation. He's the anchor of our soul. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is helper in the times of trouble. He is the great shepherd and the great high priest. All of these we'll cover, and many, many more that are there for your discovery in the Word of God. So I encourage you to get into the Word and discover these things. This morning, we're looking at the name, the anchor of our soul. Jesus Christ is the anchor of our soul. It is a significant name found in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. I'd like all of you to open your Bibles and turn with me to the Scriptures. Whatever translation you're using, it's okay. I mentioned in the early service, you could even use a Catholic Bible. That is not a derogative term toward a Catholic Bible. The Douay version contains these same Scriptures. You're going to find the same truth there that you find in our Bible. There's not that much difference. And if you attend one of my classes, I'll usually teach you about what the differences are. But the salvation message is the same in any of these Scriptures. Whether you're using King James, New King James, or New International Version, or some other brand of translation, all of them have the same commonality in this passage. They're all difficult to understand. And I don't care how you've tried to translate it, it becomes a difficult passage to understand because of the way that the expressions are. Not the words themselves, but the way they are put together makes it difficult for us to understand. The key verse is verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. But I want to read verses 13 through 20 to give you that whole context of what he is saying in this, and you'll see how weighty it is and sometimes difficult to follow. I'm going to read from New King James. You can read from NIV. You're going to find basically the same thing. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing to more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Try saying that 10 times fast. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What a tremendous passage, but difficult to understand. For it's almost like it's in a foreign language to us. Whether it's King James, New King James, or NIV, the structure of it is hard to follow the logic. And some of the words are archaic. They're difficult for us to understand. Our English language is always changing. It's always evolving and changing. I remember when I was little. That was a long time ago. But I remember that they told us that ain't a word. But if you go to the dictionary today, you'll find ain't is a word. The language changes. Culture changes. Definitions change. And so it is when we read Scripture, many times the terms that are used to describe something in Scripture have changed, and so we don't get the sense of it. It becomes a little confusing to us. I've done a lot of research on nautical themes, because one of my ancestors came over in 1690 from France, and he was a mariner. We assume that he was a captain of a ship. And so I've done a lot of studies about ships and the nautical terms back then, and I find it's fascinating. No matter what book I read, I'm totally lost when it comes to ship language. Did you ever notice the ship language that's very strange to us? And yet out of that, we get some terms for our own culture today. And let me give you a few of those hard words that we don't really understand. Above board is a nautical term. We use that in our culture today. Abaft the beam. Aft. Athwart. Athwart ships. Avast, matey. I always want to say matey after that, but it's avast. What does that mean? Away, like anchors away, and it's not A-W-A-Y. It's way, like weight. Baggy winkle. Bilge keels. Bitter end. Boatswain or bosun. Bowsprit. Capstan, not captain, capstan. Coxswain. Floatsome. Forestays, holy stone, jetsam, larboard, leeward, mizzenmast, poop deck, slush fund. All of these are found as nautical terms that have evolved and changed, and we have adapted them for our own culture. So when I'm reading some of those nautical themes and those history of navies and ships, I'm totally lost unless I have a dictionary or a lexicon next to me and I look up what they're talking about. And so it is with Scripture. Sometimes we go through the Scripture, unless we have a lexicon or a dictionary next to us, we're totally lost. This is one of those passages where you can get totally lost. Because the argumentation that he is using is very Jewish. That is very circular in his reasoning. It's not linear like we have in our Greek-based philosophies. It's circular, and so we lose it sometimes. As he begins his argument, he talks about Abraham. Well, not everybody here knows who Abraham is. Then he talks about the promise that was fulfilled to him, and many people don't know what that promise is. And on it goes through the passage of things that are not understood. Then he talks about the immutability of God's counsel. You love that word, immutability? I want everybody to say it. First time I heard that was probably in college studying theology. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Immutability. Turn to your neighbor and say that without erring in the pronunciation. Immutability. And you got to throw it together with other words. Immutability of God's counsel. And here's how you need to do that. You need to turn to the person next to you and look really sophisticated, like you're smart, pretend, and then turn to them and say, immutability of God's counsel. See, it really makes you look smart, but you haven't a clue what you're talking about. And so we want to go into some of these terms. We want to explain the passage. We want to get in there and get out the meat so we can understand what this anchor of the soul has to do with. Because by our language, anchor might have changed over the years, and we don't really know what we're talking about. So we're going to look at this passage, and what I've done to try to simplify things, which will probably make it even more complicated for you, is that I'm going to give you a LaFountain translation. My name's LaFountain, by the way. meaning I have read the passage, I have gone to the Greek, and I have understood it from the back side of the page, and now I want to bring it up into a language that we can understand. And it's basically this: God never intended you to be confused about the promises of God. God had promises He gave, and He confirmed those both by an oath, and He assured you that His promises are faithful and true, and this promise is summed up in Jesus Christ. And here I've given a summation of this so that you can understand it. And before I jump to that, let me explain something that really bothered me for a long time about this passage. When I was a teenager and read this passage, I thought, it's illogical. He says, by two immutable things, and then He doesn't list the two immutable things. He lists one of the immutable things. It's impossible for God to lie. So for those of you that are like me and are totally confused about what the two immutable things are, let me give it to you. Ready to write it down? Immutable thing number one, God promised. God promised. God can't lie. So God promised, that's firm, unshakable. And the second thing is He confirmed it with an oath. He said, I'll even do what men do. I'll make it an oath. I'll make it that firm. So by two things, the promise and by God covenanting or saying, absolutely, this is the way I'm going to do it. God confirmed it to us. This is what He's wanting us to understand about the passage. God promised it and God guaranteed it. Now, let's look at a kind of an outline of this passage so that we can see it. What we're talking about here is hope. Not a hope like, oh, I hope I get a Lamborghini for Christmas. Or I hope I've been good enough for Santa Claus to bring me a present. When the Bible talks of hope, it's not that kind of hope. That's wish. The hope here is an assurance that's absolute. A certainty of belief. That's what hope is. This hope, this anchor that's referred to in this passage is Jesus. Got it? Not anything else. This anchor of the soul is Jesus. He is the guarantee of God's promise. He is sure and absolutely reliable. He is the one we hide in as our refuge. He is the anchor of our soul. He has gone before us into heaven. That's what that passage means when it says that which within the veil. It gets all tongue twisted. He's talking about the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, but he's talking about Jesus went beyond the veil. He is behind the veil that is in heaven interceding for us. And finally, He is forever our high priest. And I know these words are difficult for us to understand, to get our brain around. Immutability, consolation, refuge, hope, anchor, steadfast, sure, forerunner, high priest, veil, all these things are tough to put our hands around and get our brains around it. But I want to help us do that this morning. Because really the picture that's set before us is an analogy. It's an analogy of a ship on the sea. And God wants you to see that. He said, this hope that we have, Jesus, is an anchor of the soul. So let me explain the analogy that's given. The analogy is of a ship or of a sea. And the sea usually is unstable. Now, you've seen some seas that are pretty calm. Really calm. Nothing going on. Well, wait a couple hours or wait a day. And you'll see that sea go from calm into a violent tempest. You'll see tsunami waves come through. You'll see waves that are higher than houses, higher than the Empire State Building even. Wow. Waves can be uncertain. The sea is life. My friends, life is uncertain. Life is unstable. Life is going to change from day to day. The shoals, and there's another word you don't know what it means, the shoals are the bad things that happen to good people. The rocks under just under the surface are called shoals. The rocks that are hidden, and they are the things that are dangerous when a ship is in a storm and doesn't have an anchor. He goes moving around and he bangs into a shoal and he gets a hole in the ship and the ship sinks. The ship is you. You are on this sea of life. The shoals are the bad things that can and will and may happen to you in this life. The anchor for the ship is Jesus. And the rope or the chain that holds the anchor is the promises of God. It's a very clear picture. Now, I'm not going to expound each of those, but I want us to understand and get a grasp of what's in front of us here. That God is talking about an anchor for our soul. Every one of you has a soul. The Scriptures say you have a body. Check it out. You have a body. Check it out. Do it. I'm not leaving until you check out your body. Call yours. You got a body, okay? You got not very good, maybe. Maybe really good. But you got a body. That's yours. You're going to have it till the day you die, and then you let it go. But you continue. You have a spirit. That's your personality. Look at the person next to you. Look them in the eye. Deep inside those eyes is a personality. They're weird. They're weird. Every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made of different personalities, different types. Everybody is different. There's no two people exactly alike. Aren't you thankful about that? But then you're also a soul. You are a living creature. God breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. That soul is not just your personality, but it is the you that's going to live on forever and ever, either in hell, in total punishment, or in heaven in the presence of God. That soul is what is referred to here. That we have an anchor for our soul that goes beyond this life and during this life, that our anchor needs to be cast, and it's Jesus Christ, and we hold on to Him. I want us to understand that. But here's something of the analogy I didn't understand before, and that is this. Anchors don't fail. Anchors don't fail. The chain or the rope to the anchor can fail, but the anchor itself doesn't fail. Anchors are different sizes, different weights, but they're all effective. Every anchor I've ever heard of, every anchor I've ever seen, is very faithful. It's going to do what it's created to do. It sinks to the bottom, grabs the bottom, and hangs on. Why? Because that's what it does. Jesus Christ will not fail. He is the anchor of our soul. You ever see an anchor that you throw into, you take out of the ship and you throw into the water and it stands on the top of the water and just kind of floats? That would be an anchor that failed. They don't exist. You take an anchor and you throw it out of the ship and it goes to the bottom and it hangs on the bottom. It is sure, it is steadfast. It's not going to move. It's going to hold that ship where it needs to be so it doesn't get knocked up against the shoals and crash and sink. You see, the anchor is Christ Jesus. He never changes. He does not fail. What we need to do is get anchored to Him. We need to get tethered to the anchor. We need to be attached to the anchor, attach the anchor to our ship. I would love to do an illustration with big chains, but I didn't have any big chains to do it. So use your imagination, all right? Can you do that? You're so quiet today. Do this with me. Go, do, 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 do. All right, you're going to use your imagination. All right, Pastor Vic's got all these chains. I take the chain and I hook it onto the anchor and I have a welder weld it on. The chain is on the anchor. Then I take the chains and I wrap them around myself. I wrap them around my ship and then I take the anchor and I throw it in. Some of you are really imagining, there goes Pastor Dick. Now, use your imagination. The chain is big enough to go to the bottom and not drag me along with it. I am attached. I am tethered to that anchor. That anchor is not going to fail. As long as I'm holding the rope, as long as the rope is on me, I will not fail to be steadfast in the storms of life, to be able to go through those storms. We have an anchor that is Christ Jesus. There is no other anchor. No other anchor in this life, not in the life to come. One anchor only, that's Jesus. Every one of us needs to get attached to that anchor. We need to be tethered to that anchor. God's Word in Hebrews says that anchor is not on earth, it is in heaven. And we are tethered to Jesus Christ, who's in the presence of God interceding for us as the great high priest. We are tethered to Him, and we are safe. I want you to look at this anchor. Look at this cable for the anchor. What happened to this one that's in the picture? It is corroded. It is rusty. It is rotting. It is getting weak. Sometimes we as Christians fail to hold on to the anchor because we don't take care of the rope. We don't hold the rope. In the Old Testament, it says that there's a threefold cord that is not easily broken. And I want to suggest this morning, the cord by which we hold on to our anchor is a threefold cord. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the promises of God. God has three everlasting, immutable promises for you to hold on to the anchor. I want to share that with you this morning. Threefold cord that sets your anchor, and that is, first of all, God's love. God's love. In order to be hooked to the anchor and have security in Christ and know who we are, we need to be attached to His love and to know that firmly, without any doubt, without any insecurities. For many years, I did not have that in my life. Somebody began talking, probably in the mid-70s, about unconditional love. And when they started talking about that, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand that. I have no example in my life of unconditional love. I never felt that Mom and Dad loved me when I was bad. I got the impression they didn't love me when I was bad. My mom before me said that she had the impression when she was growing up that when she did something bad, she was rejected and not loved by her father. As a matter of fact, her father said, "We're going to sell you to the junk man." And she believed it. She waited in terror for the junk man to come every day. There are a lot of Christians that don't have the anchor. They're not attached to Jesus Christ and His love, which is constant and which is faithful. Let me give you one passage, though there are hundreds, by which you can attach to the love of God. It's found in Romans chapter 8, and I want every Bible open and everybody with your nose in your Bible right now. Because this is the thing that will bring hope to your life. This is what will keep you anchored in Christ Jesus, attached to Him, is by the love of God and the promises of God. Romans chapter 8. Wonderful passage that every Christian ought to memorize. If you haven't memorized, at least get very, very familiar with it. So when the devil comes around telling you God doesn't love you, you can read in the riot act. This is God's riot act for the devil. That God loves you and it's unconditional, it's everlasting, it's measureless. And here it goes. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And the answer is no. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, all the bad things, all the shoals, all the rough seas of life. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's not about us loving God. It's about God loving us through Jesus Christ. And He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the things present or things future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is the part of that anchor, which is the chain, the link to the anchor, is the love of God in the promises of God. We cannot depend on our own feelings about being loved. My friends, if you're expecting that your experience of the Lord Jesus Christ will be based on feeling, whether you feel loved. If you grew up in a very difficult family where love was unconditional, you will probably not feel the love of God. You will probably not like the concept of God being your heavenly Father because you have a poor father image. But we are not to be tethered to our emotions or our experience. We're to be tethered to Jesus Christ, the anchor of our soul. And the promises of God are what holds us to that anchor. And so the promises of God right here, the anchor of God, is the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a measureless, fathomless, deep love beyond all other loves. Then we need to be attached to the security of our Heavenly Father, the security that He gives us. That is the second thread of this cord that holds us to the anchor. And that thread is given in Scripture in many places. Let me give you one. And everybody needs to go to this passage as well. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verses 27 to 29. This is a fantastic Scripture. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Christian church, an Alliance church, a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. But the church that I grew up in was very insecure in their faith. They didn't want us to believe that we could be saved by grace only through faith. They wanted us to believe it was faith plus good works, plus doing the right things and being in the right place at the right time. As a matter of fact, we asked my mom, and she affirmed this when we were young. We said, Mom, We're going down the street at 65 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, and we lose control of the car and hit a tree and die. Are we going to heaven or hell? And Mom thinks about that, and she says, well, Ma, I just think you have to go to hell because you had sin in your life. My friends, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not the truth of God's Word. That is man's feelings and man's invention. Every religion on the face of the planet is based on your works. Don't make Christianity like every other religion. It is not like every other religion. Christianity is based on an anchor that is sure and steadfast and does not fail. I don't care who you are and how godly and how righteous you are in Jesus Christ, you are going to fail, and you probably fail every day, multiple times every day. And if your salvation was based on that, you're like the ship that's tossed by the sea, and you'll be in luck or out of luck whenever you die. Did I sin and I go to hell? Or did I live righteously for that moment and go to heaven? That's not the way God does it. We are saved by anchoring ourselves to Christ Jesus, and He holds us and He keeps us. Let me give you that passage, John chapter 10. Matter of fact, this passage was never, as far as I can remember, this passage was never read in my home church. Never, because it would have contradicted the view that you're insecure. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Say that with me. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here's that double security, that immutability of God's promises, double blessings of God's promises. He says, those sheep that I have, they're in my hand, and nobody's going to take them away from me. And then those sheep are in my Father's hand. He covers me, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand. My friend, in Christ Jesus, as you anchor to the rock Christ Jesus, to the anchor of your soul, you are secure in Him who is unshakable, who will not let you go. I'm so glad that God won't let me go. Because I flip around all the time, don't you? I rock to and fro. Sometimes I'm obedient, sometimes I'm not obedient. And from day to day, if it's dependent on me, man, I'm never going to be secure in my faith. My friend, God has given you a cord to attach to the anchor Christ Jesus, who never fails. Steadfast, unmovable. He is always there, and He will keep you. Let me give you another one. I was only going to give you one. I'm going to give you another scripture for this because it was so important in my life. Philippians 1:6. Look it up. If it's not marked in your Bible, mark it now. I was a teenager when I came across this, and it made me weep. I thought, oh my, Lord, You promised that You're not going to let me go and You're going to work in me. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo! Jesus is going to perform His work in me until the day that He comes again. He is not going to let me go. He's not going to quit. He's going to keep chiseling at me. He's going to keep sanding me. He's going to make me what He wants me to be. My friend, Jesus is not going to let you go. That's why He's called the anchor that we can attach to. And it's going to be sure. And it's going to be steadfast. All right, I lied. I'm going to give you one more. Just for good measure. Let me give you one more. I didn't really lie. I wasn't going to give it to it, but I changed my mind. Jude has one chapter. Jude 1:24. It's a benediction for this whole passage. It shows the affirmation of Jude and his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His security that's absolute in Christ. Jude 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Wow, what a passage. Unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His throne. Oh, that's my Jesus. I want to be attached to Him. Because if it's based on me, I'm not going to get anywhere near God's throne. My sin would keep me away. But in Jesus Christ, He is working in me to do His will and His good pleasure. He is going to make me what I ought to be. He is going to make me clean. He's going to wash me in His precious blood. My security in Him is absolute. Then there's a third chord here that's very important, and that is His constant care. God's constant care for you. My friend, if that's insecure in your life, the cable is going to snap. If that little piece of your rope snaps, you're going to be weakened in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know that God cares about you in every circumstance. Here we go, Romans 8:28. Find it in your Bible. I'm waiting. Romans 8:28. I'm waiting, waiting. Okay, find it. Why do I do that? Because you need the Word, not my sermon. You need the Word of God. You need it in front of you. You need your eyes to see it. You need your heart to attach to it and hold it as your own. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We know that God is working everything together for the good of them that love God, who are called again according to His purpose. That means everything in life, all the situations, all the bad seas, all the tsunamis that come your way, all the things that go wrong, God is working those together, weaving them together for your good and for His glory. That's an absolute truth we need to hang on to. My friend, you're going to run into rough seas. You haven't already. You will down the road. The rough seas will come, and you need to be anchored to Christ Jesus. You need to be tethered to Him and know this promise that He said, I will never let you go. I am working out my pleasure. Have you ever seen a beautiful tapestry, these great rugs that hang on walls? Beautiful, ornate ways that they put it all together. It looks fantastic. But go around the back side of a tapestry, what do you see? You see all these strings and all these knots. Everything looks chaotic. Doesn't look like it makes any sense at all. My friend, we are on the wrong side of the tapestry. We are seeing life from the knotty side. We're seeing all the knots and all the things that go wrong. And God says, I'm weaving this together for my glory and your good. And then He'll turn that tapestry around one day for us to see. And we'll stand in awe and say, wow. And we'll probably quote Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. Wow, I'm excited about Jesus being my anchor. Because it's not about my work. It's not about me being good. It's not about me even holding on to the anchor. The chain holds me. I'm attached by His love and His security and His care. His promises will hold me tight. And all I need to do is hang on to Jesus and say, Jesus, I love You, and I've given my life to You, and I know that You will keep me from falling and present me faultless before Your throne. What a wonderful, absolutely phenomenal truth. Let me give you a little bit more as we close. There is a sure anchor that all of us need to have, and here's an absolute truth. Everybody look at me. Look up. You are not the anchor of your soul. You are not the anchor of your soul. Your strength is not the anchor of your soul. Your faith is not the anchor of your soul. Your faithfulness is not the anchor of your soul. Your family is not your anchor. Your job is not your anchor. Your spouse is not your anchor. Your resources are not your anchor. All of your investments are not your anchor. Every one of us needs an anchor that's beyond this life. The anchor of our soul that God says is anchored in heaven is Jesus Christ. When we are attached to Him, we have a firm foundation. We are connected with the One who will never fail us. Your strength will fail. Your faith will fail. Your faithfulness will fail. Your family will fail. Your job will fail. Your spouse will fail. Your resources will fail. Your assets will fail. But Jesus never fails. Let me give you a picture. Those of you that might be listening by the internet or wherever else you're listening, you don't get the pictures, pick them up on our website because this picture will help you understand what Jesus did for us. There is an obscure passage in Isaiah 22:23 that says, I will fasten Him as a nail in a sure place. I will fashion Him as a nail in a sacred place, another translation calls it. That is, God has ordained that Jesus Christ should be a nail fastened. You know, we use fasteners all the time. I've got it in my garage. I fasten a hook that holds my bike. I put it up there. It's an anchor. It's on an anchor bolt. It goes on the wall. God took a nail in a faithful place on Calvary and He nailed His Son Jesus Christ into the ground. He allowed Him to be crucified and to die in our place, and that was an anchor that was set for all time. It can never change. Jesus Christ does not need to die over and over again. He did it once for all. Praise God, He doesn't have to die every year at Easter time. He did it once for all. It's a nail in a fixed place. It is an anchor bolt that went down forever and ever. And I am safe in Him when I look to the cross and believe what He did for me. And then we come to Hebrews. Slide that slide right over. And we see that anchor bolt becomes our anchor. That He is the only anchor that is sure and steadfast. Once for all, we are anchored in heaven through the precious cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus alone is the anchor of our soul. We don't anchor ourselves. He holds us. Let me conclude with a couple questions. To what are you really anchored? I would say that normally. What are you really anchored to? But some of our grammar people would get on my case. To what are you anchored? Or what are you anchored to? If you're anchored to all those things that fail, you're not anchored at all. You're holding on for dear life. You're struggling to make it because you're not anchored. When the storms of life come, you'll be bashed against the shoals. You'll be ruined. Your ship will go down because you have no anchor to hold you in the safety of the harbor. There is but one anchor of the soul. That is Jesus Christ. Solus Christus, which means in Christ alone. In a moment, we're going to close with that wonderful song, In Christ Alone, that declares the truth of this message, that Jesus Christ alone is the anchor for our soul. Jesus Christ alone holds us when we can't hold ourselves. He keeps us from falling. He presents us faultless. All we need to do is have the promises of God held in place in our hearts, and He will hold us forever and ever. And friend, who's holding you? And who is the anchor of your soul? Let's pray. Father, my heart sometimes gets overwhelmed for the people of this church family. I don't know everybody's heart, but I know the hearts of men. They're extremely deceitful. And sometimes we fool ourselves in thinking that we are anchored to Christ when really we're just trying hard to hold on. And we're not looking really to Jesus. We're looking to our own righteousness, our own goodness, our own works. And Lord, You have set us free from those things that we might look to Jesus and live. And I pray this morning that if there's anyone here that's been trusting some other foundation, some other security than Jesus Christ alone, that You would show them today that their faith needs to be in the anchor who is sure and steadfast, who will never fail, and that the promises of God are theirs and they're true for all time, just to trust in this wonderful Savior who saves us once for all, who is crucified and died and rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We bless Your name, Lord Jesus. We trust in Christ alone as our Savior, the anchor of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this song, let God speak to your heart and rejoice in trusting Christ alone.